This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Well, good morning, everyone. Alan Ellis here for the Outdoorsman Radio Show, or with the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we talk about fishing, and we talk about hunting, and we talk about the great outdoors, and anything else and everything else that goes along with that. And if you are an outdoorsman, you've come to the right place. If you like fishing, if you like hunting, if you like wildlife, if you like, oh, I don't know, just being outside, you are in the right place. If you like eating wild game, as we do here, if you happen to be carnivorous, well, then, you know, you've arrived. And if you have any questions about the outdoors, you'd like to comment about something you've seen or observed, or if you want to talk about the various rules and regulations and laws that are around hunting, fishing in the outdoors, well, we'd be more than glad to talk about that as well. So, I have no guest this morning. Sparky's at home, which is okay. And, Robin is home, and that's okay. I'm gonna get a text here shortly. You listen for it. And, that's okay too, but, we'll manage the best we can. Just Chris and I here this morning, Chris Klaproth, our producer, and he'll be taking your phone calls. And, here we are on St. Patrick's Day weekend. Of course, St. Patrick's Day is tomorrow. And then what's next? What comes up next? Well, that would be the Maryland Hunting Coalition benefit. I've been involved with that this is our fifth year, but I've been involved in planning that for,
I think, since last year.
Eons. Decades.
Yeah.
You hear the little
toe? Because I think you start working on it as soon as one ends.
Yes,
start working on the next
exactly
one.
True. Exactly true. And, you know, it's to the point now where you go, what more can I do? You know.
Well, I looked at the newsletter that came out, and
yeah.
I saw there's a lot of good stuff that's going to be auctioned off. Let me see. One of them was a Savage 220 Boyd's Laminate stock rifle.
Yeah, well, it's a shotgun. It's
shotgun.
A slug shotgun, and we actually obtained a scope for that, a beautiful slug scope from the folks from Nikon. So we'll get that mounted up and everything when the gun is unveiled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it will be just one of the most spectacular things you've ever seen for hunting in the deer firearm season. So that's one.
Yeah, and then I saw a couple waterfowl hunts for four people. One was a Southern Maryland waterfowl hunt, and
Dan Baker,
Shore.
Dan Baker's one of our advisors. Dan's also the president of the Maryland Fur Trappers Association, decoy carver, and I think his dad makes crab traps and crab pots. So very talented guy. He works for the Prince George's, I think, fire department down there. And Dan's a great guy. And so he's provided a waterfowl hunt. And then we've got one from, who's the other one from?
It's the Eastern Shore
waterfowl
hunt for four people. I can't remember who.
Kirby Bryan.
Okay.
Kirby Bryan, very well known. I think the name of his business is Eastern Shore Duck and Goose Hunting, Eastern Shore with something. But Kirby's very good at what he does. So yeah, we've got that as well. So, and I know where Kirby hunts, and it's loaded with ducks and geese. So, you know, that's good.
Something else I saw, speaking of waterfowl.
What's that?
Was a pair of hand carved canvasback decoys.
Yeah.
Which would look good on a fireplace or a mantle.
Extremely good. Yeah, I have one of their decoys. I happen to buy one of their common scoter decoys.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Give me the name. You have it on there?
No, I have to take a look.
Okay. I'm sorry, Pat. It's early.
I'll look.
But we'll get back to that. We'll get back to that. They provided triplets last year, a surf scoter, a white wing scoter, and a what we call Butterbill, a common scoter. And I bought the Butterbill. So, yeah, I saw that on the newsletter. I put that newsletter together. I just can't speak the man's name at the moment, but I will. We'll get there. But if you got the newsletter, you know a little bit of stuff. This week we picked up a bay fishing trip in the Lower Bay from Captain Brian Elder on the Kelly D. That's down in Southern Maryland. We've got a lot of people coming from Southern Maryland, so they're going to have access to close by stuff. Chesapeake Outdoors donated a I can see it. Hang on. Chiapa turkey shotgun. Beautiful gun. Camo turkey shotgun, three chokes. Really nice from Chiapa. And speaking of Chesapeake Outdoors, they're supplying the crossbow, the Raven crossbow, R-A-V-I-N, R-10 crossbow that we're giving away. And they also have some tickets available at the shop there. If you live on the Eastern Shore, you don't have to be present to win this particular raffle. So folks that are, you know, sending in their tickets on the Internet, you know, we can do it online now. Everything is online. Just go to mdhuntingcoalition.org. And, yeah, Pat Hipple. Yep, Pat Hipple. Great supporter, and we love Pat and the work that he does. These are working decoys, and, I mean, he hunts over them, and a great sea duck hunter. I know that's for sure. So, Pat, thank you so much for your donation of the pair of canvas bags. We also have a decoy, a sleeping or whatever, full-size Canada goose decoy made by a fellow by the name of Boyt, I believe, from the Eastern Shore. And that was donated by our friend and real estate agent, Henner Gibbons Neff. So that was really nice. And we'll start putting some of that decoy stuff online and showing people what we've got. What else did we do?
Got a redneck waterfowl blind.
Redneck waterfowl blind from Stephen House out there in the western part of the state, or just across the line in Pennsylvania. He's a redneck dealer. And Stephen donated a waterfowl blind. This is a full-size field blind, basically, that, you know, mm-hmm. you unfold and you set up. And three or four guys can actually hunt out of that. Yeti tumblers, coolers, and dog bowls from Mike's Big Green Egg, also in Southern Maryland, down St. Mary's County.
I also saw a Ruger 10/22 rifle.
Ruger 10/22, yep, compact. That's for good one for the kids. They don't make that compact anymore, so that's a nice rifle. That's from Jim Ratz, Mechanicsville. Let's see, Clyde Sports Shop, 1187 Remington. Yeah, 1187. Yes, indeed. It's a black one, synthetic stock, but you know what? I own a black one with a synthetic stock. And if you don't like the black, put a camo stock on it. They're like $80, you know? So we got that. And thank you for Clyde Sports Shop. Our Linex sponsors, Catonsville Linex, $250 gift certificate. And that was from Catonsville for any service for Linex. So you can apply that to a truck bed or, you know, lid or whatever. And then at Linex Glen Burnie, Bobby donated a beautiful 45-foot truck gear cooler. Rollo molded, the whole deal. Really nice. And we have three coolers to give away. We have the Linex cooler, 45 quart. We have the Yeti Ducks Unlimited 65 45 quart Tundra, 45? I can't remember. And then the, I think it's, These things all run together after a while. There's so much of it. A lot of guns. I mean, Continental Arms donated a Remington 700 stainless steel ADL model with a scope. Nice, nice. Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation also donated a Remington camo with a scope, 6.5 Creedmoor. Everybody wants that 6.5 Creedmoor. There are three other crossbows that were given away. There's a Bear compound bow. So, anyway, lots of stuff, lots of stuff. Prince, there's Chuck weighing in. He's got that great geese landing in a field artwork. We've got a pronghorn print donated by Bobby Dutrow from the, we're splitting the proceeds on the goose print with, Physically Challenged Bowhunters of America. There's a pronghorn print. There might be some other artwork come up. I'm not sure. All kinds of accessories and gear. Battery Warehouse, our sponsor, Battery Warehouse. They've underwritten the entire batch of door prizes. We give door prizes to, you know, firemen and EMTs and police officers, you know, and people and past and present military service people. We do a drawing for them, for people that have
First responders,
that type of thing. And then we do a drawing for the women. But if you know about Nebo, they make flashlights and they make knives and all kinds of handy little stuff that you can't live without, you know. So Battery Warehouse has donated all that for every door prize that we give away. So I think there's like 10 knives and or 10 flashlights and handful of knives. And the nicest thing is this, it's called a rescue, emergency portable power source. Have you seen these? You carry them with you in your car. They're a little like a briefcase.
Oh, okay.
You carry them in your car and you can charge your battery. You can jump your car, you know, without waiting for somebody else to
cables.
And it's lithium battery operated. So
oh, nice.
Yeah, it's
it'll hold its charge for a while.
Very nice charge. Yeah, it's called a LIFE PO4400. If anybody wants to look that up, it's a rescue portable power pack. So it's all good. All good. Oh, look at that. When is that? Oh, we'll talk about that. Wild game night. We'll talk about that in a little while here. So anyway, lots going on in Annapolis. One of the gun laws that we never thought would make it out of committee made it out of committee. It's House Bill 786. And this is the one that would have required registration of all your long guns and so forth, 7-day waiting period, licensing, the whole deal. That bill was basically gutted and stripped. And we want to thank the members of the committee who are on our side for helping get that watered way down. We don't know if it'll advance, but basically right now it's
in the trash.
Well, no. It's still alive, and the amended bill
is likely
to pass, which means in the future Maryland we will have universal background checks.
Okay.
You know, so in secondary transfer type of stuff.
Okay.
Which means you can't privately sell a gun to somebody without taking it to a dealer. That's part of that deal. So we think. We're not sure how the whole thing reads, but I know pages 6 through 14 are gone. All those restrictions are gone. That bill was basically, like I said, gutted. And we've got the amendment. I got the amendment here, but it's extremely difficult to understand. But our lobbyist understands it.
That's all that counts.
That's all that matters. And Bill gets it. So, you know, that's good. The Sunday hunting bills. One of the Sunday hunting bills moved out of committee in the Senate last Friday. It was put in as a statewide Sunday hunting bill.
Mm-hmm.
It came out amended down to the senator's home county of St. Mary's County. You know, and everybody else was, again, gutted out of that bill. So St. Mary's County could see some increased days. Looks like the Dorchester Sunday hunting bills are moving. So, but you know, we don't go to work on the local bills because, in general, generally speaking, the General Assembly will give due consideration to those delegations that want what they want. If they say, look, this is good for your county, why should, you know, Baltimore City and Allegheny County stand against what Dorchester wants? Or why should Dorchester and the Eastern Shore stand against what Frederick wants? So, you know, it's local consideration. It's done all the time, done all the time. So some of those local Sunday hunting bills will likely pass. So, or not. It's General Assembly. Remember that. So, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. We'd love to hear from you. So we would, absolutely. And we got plenty of tickets for the Maryland Sportsman Show. John B., I think you're going to have to resend your address if you're listening. I'm not sure if I deleted that email or not. I probably have it somewhere, but I'm sure I do, but I wouldn't worry about it. Let's see. The Maryland Sportsman Show coming Friday, March 22nd through Sunday, March 24th at the Howard County Fairgrounds, just off exit 80 on I-70. The Maryland Sportsman Show is a three-day event packed with over 100-plus vendors. The show opens at 2 o'clock on Friday, and hours are 10 to 4 on Saturday and Sunday. There's a waterfowl calling contest on Saturday and a cornhole contest on Sunday with seminars all weekend long. Now, this show offers one-stop shopping experience with great values on hunting gear, fishing tackle and clothing, plus ATVs, boats, RVs, and trucks. Don't miss this opportunity to meet face-to-face with top companies, see the latest products, speak with the guides, and book your next hunting adventure. Get your tickets for the Maryland Sportsman Show at the door or online at mdsportsmanshow.com. All right, we can do that. Let's talk about Clyde Sports Shop. Why not? Clyde Sports Shop, their 10-day sale ends tomorrow. We stopped the other day, and Clyde, as I mentioned, was very generous and donated a Remington 1187 to our cause, and he's been supporting us for 5 years. His ready-to-rock sale goes through tomorrow. And right now, all rockfish trolling baits and lures are on sale. If you got, a rod with a reel on it with line on it and you haven't changed the line for a while, get that line stripped off of there and take those spools in and let Clyde's fill it up with brand new monofilament line at half price. Pen reels are on sale. The Warfare 30 level line, $89.95. Trolling combos from $89.95 with a Shakespeare 6-foot rod and a Pen 309, or the most popular has that Warfare 30 level wind and an Andy 6-foot rod with rod and line. Shakespeare and Fluger rods and reels are on sale. All ugly sticks are on sale. St. Croix rods, a full selection, and all the stuff you need for fishing, live bait and all. Don't forget Clyde Sports Shop's phone number, 410-242-6108, and their 24-hour-a-day fishing hotline, 24-7, is 247-3474. 247-FISH, very simple to remember, for Clyde Sports Shop. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners rated number one, carrying nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233. Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410,
W&W Tire and Auto. Talk Radio 680, WCPM. dinner, crab cakes and rockfish too. We thanked the Lord and said the blessing, but what we forgot to do was to thank the man who by hand helped put food upon our plate. The man that dipped the crabs, hooked the fish, and cut the bait. The man that works our rivers, he's our neighbor, he's our friend. His backbone and his focus, the way he makes his living. I'm talking about the man.
All right, let's talk to Bill down there in Calvert County. How you doing, brother Bill?
Good morning, Mr. Ellis. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. What caused you to get up so early?
Shame.
What?
Shame.
Shame. Shamed into it, huh?
Oh,
yeah. Well, I was talking a little bit about the, I don't know if you heard it, if you were listening, but I was talking a little bit about the bills in Annapolis, in particular the House Bill 786, which is the companion to Senate Bill 787. What is it? I can't remember anymore.
But you really need to know whatever the
egregious gun bill was, but it looks like the House has had some common sense people on their committee.
Yes, and be honest with you, I've asked a couple of them to call in this morning, and I'm hoping that they will, but they're getting beat up pretty bad this time of year.
That's true.
They're working for very long hours, and they realize the importance of what the 786 does to the sportsman's community.
Yep.
And I do believe they're going to call in, but it might be later in your show. So
that's fine.
We have time for them. Pardon?
Yeah, I'd welcome them. I'd love to say thank you to them personally from me and for the hunting community.
Well, what they did, I mean, to be honest with you, the amendments were just voted on, and they're almost impossible to see them online.
Right.
And until the bill is actually adopted and the amendments are built into it, it's really difficult to see. But what they did was they've definitely gutted the bill compared to what it was. And I mean, if that bill would have gone through, it would have been a registry. And we would have had guys like you and I and your listeners, all of us with rifles and shotguns that we use for hunting and for target practice and whatnot would have had to have been licensed.
That's right.
And it's a registry.
Yep.
And it was awful, absolutely awful. And the Hunting Coalition joined others in opposition to this. And I can tell you that we do have friends in Annapolis. The problem is there's just fewer of them than there are the anti-gun.
Oh, that's true. That's true. And I mean, I've explained it on this show that the horrific shooting in Annapolis that, you know, that the entire General Assembly can relate to. And, you know, the fact that this fella that used a long gun to commit these horrific murders, purchased the gun legally. And that's been browbeaten into every member of the General Assembly that this, you know, this murderer got his gun legally. And can't we stop these horrible long guns from being sold in Maryland and, you know, that type of thing and restrict their ownership? And I mean, you can hear the whole rap, you know. And, you know, us thousands and tens of thousands of law-abiding hunters out here going, we didn't do that. That's not us. That's not in our heart. You know, that guy had all kinds of warning signs and nobody heeded the warning, you know. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough issue.
It is. It's a horrible issue.
To me, gun control is like the abortion issue. You're either on one side or the other, and it's just hard to meet in the middle on anything.
Yep, that's right.
And it's, you know, they're painful, and you understand exactly why people feel the way they do. But nonetheless, you know, you have in Annapolis, you know, in Maryland, all roads lead to Annapolis, so you have to fight. So what was introduced is a bill that would have required a registry, like I said.
Right.
Now I've been basically gutted to what some would call the loophole.
Right.
You know, I don't think I would want to ever call it a loophole. When you go to these gun shows and you buy a firearm, that these dealers now will be required to conduct that. They actually put the term in the bill.
What the gun show loophole simply means, and Robin and I had a heated discussion on this, a lively debate last night. The gun show loophole means if there's a gun show, there's, you know, of course, pro-gun people there all over the place, and the dealers rent space inside, they put their tables, their wares up, and you buy a ticket, you get in the door, you want to see all the new stuff, and you can make a purchase there. You can buy ammunition, you can buy accessories, you can buy gear, you can buy all kinds of hunting stuff, you can buy anything and everything for the gun, the gun hobbyist or supporter or whatever it might be. And you walk out the door and there's a guy sitting there with his, you know, with a 270 over his shoulder on a sling, and he has a sign on the barrel that says for sale. And you go, how much for the 270? The guy goes, I need 250. And you go, well, that's pretty cheap. Here's 250. Here's your gun. Private transfer, private sale, perfectly legal. Now, a lot of the gun shows on their own have cut down on those type of things because they don't want this reputation that you can go there. But there are people who will, you know, who will lurk in the parking lot just to make private gun sales. And that's the gun show loophole. Private sales at a gun show from one individual to another who cut the dealer out of the deal. That's the loophole. That's what the quote gun show loophole is to cut down on. But what happens if you have that, you know, you want to sell me that, that top end Benelli you've got and, you know, you need the money and you say, hey, Alan, I need $500. And I say, hey, Bill, I got $500. Here you go. And you hand me the Benelli and I hand you the $500 and we're done. I know you'd never sell it for $500.
Well, if you're a dealer now, okay, and I guess it is the secondary transactions, and I don't even know how you enforce this.
Right.
But nonetheless, you're going to have to get that FBI National Instant Criminal Background check.
The NICS check. 4473 form. Yep, exactly.
You're going to have, if you're a secondary transactions, you're going to have to have that background check.
Right.
Now.
Right.
And there are all kinds of exemptions for hunting at a sporting goods range, if it's a transfer within a family. So there's a lot of exemptions from it, but in a lot of ways, it's the beginning of a registry that doesn't exist right now. And it's just, you know, it's just an emotional reaction, painful as it is, to what happened at the Capital Gazette.
That's right.
And you know, to a lesser degree at Great Mills High School. But, you know, these are well-intentioned individuals that come in and testify, and their stories are heart-wrenching. They're like, you know, they're like angel moms that you see.
No question. No question. Mothers Against Gun Violence. I mean, it's pretty simple.
It is.
You know?
And we all know it's not the law-abiding individuals like you and I.
Right.
But nonetheless, lawmakers are lawmakers. And at the end of the day, it's their playground, it's their marbles, it's their rules. You do your best to influence the process, but Alan, as you and I have talked about more than once, you and I don't vote.
Right. At the end of the day,
best we can to influence the vote.
You do what you do best, and that is, you know, meet with lawmakers and you do your quote unquote lobbying for our cause. And you know, you're one of the best at it that I've ever seen. And
you're too kind.
Let's think about this, Bill. Okay. You know, all these gun laws, where are the lobbyists for, you know, the national organizations? Where are they?
Listen, because, and I tell you why, in my personal opinion, and I'm probably going to get in trouble, I mean, a lot of these lobbyists, you know, that basically represent some of these, I'm not going to name names.
No, of course not.
I'm not going to name organizations. But think logically, for example. So the gun lobby hires some, let's call them top guns, because that's what a lobbyist is top guns.
Right.
So they hire these top guns to come in and fight, you know, egregious issues, okay,
right,
by the group.
Right.
Or they want something that they don't have now.
Right.
At the end of the day, if you're a lobbyist, okay, and you've got X number of clients with X number of tens of thousands of dollars coming into you, some guy cases hundreds of thousands of dollars coming into you for a 90-day session, and you've got 15 items before the General Assembly, in your heart of hearts, you don't believe and really this in the two-way rights. So are you really going to be arguing that vehemently with the same number of lawmakers that you have to on other issues as you are on the 2A?
Right.
I don't think so. Okay. So it's the John Q guy. Guys like the Maryland Hunting Coalition. We go down there and just pour our hearts into it because we honestly believe in it.
Well, we have we have members who went down to the rally. We have an advisor, Jamie Wink, who actually went in and did testify on these bills and so forth. And then, of course, the General Assembly plays games with the Senate bill. You know, well, we'll hear from one pro and one anti panel here right at the beginning, and we'll get that off the table, and everybody goes, okay, great. But then we'll delay the rest of the testimony until after we hear all the other bills. And these people aren't going to hang around to 4 a.m. in the morning, which is what happened on 787.
And I tell you one thing, that was something that I certainly didn't want to engage in. But again, Alan, it's their playground, their marvel.
That's exactly right.
And but I can tell you one thing: the Maryland Hunting Coalition, on behalf of the sportsmen and sportswomen of Maryland, made it very clear this bill cannot pass as introduced. Please, and I hopefully the lawmakers that will come into you that were able to get the bill amended in the committee to the House Judiciary Committee. And Alan, by the way, the companion bill is Senate Bill 737.
Well,
Senate Bill 737.
I don't want to relate this to tragic events, but I would like to see 737. I'm not even going to say it.
Well, you keep it.
I'd like to see it go away.
How this game is normally played. If one chamber knows the other chamber is taking the heat first on a controversial issue, they'll sit back and wait.
Sure.
So, to me, the Senate is going to sit back and wait for the House bill to pass this over.
Right.
And
which is today, right? Today's crossover, right?
Well, no, I know, but the Senate bill is not going to get over there. It's going to be the House bill they're going to work from.
Right.
The Senate bill has not been moved. It has its crossover date, but that's just an artificial date, really. But when you look at the sponsors on this House bill, it tells you what kind of momentum it has in the House. And I'm looking at the sponsors right now, and it's, you know, I'm going to give you a quick count, what I think, 2, 4, 6, 7, there's probably 45 sponsors on this bill.
Wow.
Okay? Just in the House bill alone.
Right. Well, that gives you the idea that this is roundly supported as a good idea in the House of Representatives.
And that means leadership's behind it. But at the end of the day, we have friends and allies, and I didn't plead with them.
Right.
I respectfully asked them, would they be willing to call in, mainly because of your audience, Alan?
Yeah.
I mean, it's our audience. It's the men and women that support what we do. And I explained to them how important it is because of all the misinformation that's out there. Would they please be willing to call in? And they're like, oh, my gosh, but we need sleep so bad.
Yeah.
I don't even want to tell you who they are.
No.
I don't want to embarrass them.
No, but if they call in, then we'll just, you know, we'll celebrate with them. But, you know.
It's a male and a female delegate, and I have every indication they're going to call in. It might be 6:30, 6:40.
That's fine.
But your audience, and you need to thank them because they took a registry bill and just, in their opinion, closed the loophole. That's the best they could do.
Right.
But the bill still is going to be battled out on the House floor.
Right.
Yesterday, it was special order by the Republican minority leader in the House, Kipke, and it would be debated strenuously on the House floor. But I think at the end of the day, the votes are there to move the bill. I'd like to be wrong, but again, I think it's going to pass over in the Senate. The Senate will wait for the House bill, and they'll see if they can't. Who knows what they'll do? Maybe they'll kill it over there. Who knows?
You never know. You know? It's like at the end of the day, you said it first. we don't vote. You and I.
We don't vote. But the bill has legs, and again, it's only focused now on the secondary transaction. Not the registry with all the, like, coming into the state of Maryland, having to register guns. You and I happen to go down to the Maryland State Police and register my Benelli, my Brownie,
right,
my Beretta. And like, oh my gosh. But that is not going to happen unless somehow the Senate put it back in and the House consented, which I don't think will happen. But I think it's going to be just aimed at secondary transactions, Alan. And I think that's a good thing given how bad it could have been. And I'm not saying it's a good thing, but sometimes a half a loaf is better than no loaf at all.
Got it. Got it. Hey, Bill, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
We've got another Bill from Manchester, and I knew who it is. I hope he's still there. He's a goose guide who I've hunted with on any number of occasions, and he's a good one. Bill, are you there? Bill, are you still there?
Bill Miles?
Nope, the other Bill. I think Bill left. We had him on hold for like 20 minutes, so... All right, let's just get Bill.
I guess I bored him to death.
No. But I know he's listening. So let's talk a little briefly here about, if you can, about Sunday hunting. What's going on with that? We had three statewide Sunday hunting bills introduced in the General Assembly this year. Two in the Senate, one for waterfowl, one for deer in the Senate, and one for deer in the House.
Yes. These basically, I know, you know, very, very well. What you did was you basically had three statewide Sunday hunting bills, okay? You had Senate Bill 293.
Right.
And House Bill 1378.
Right.
Which were companion bills, okay?
Right.
This bill would have allowed Sunday hunting of migratory birds, okay? And, it's in some circles highly supported, in others it's not.
Right.
And you know, the Maryland Hunting Coalition, basically we didn't oppose the bill by any means. All we did was kind of, you know, privately told some of these sponsors and some of these lawmakers, because they ask and they come to the Hunting Coalition and ask.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, the timing's not good here with what the numbers are. And just go on the DNR website, the Wildlife and Heritage Service, and see what the migratory Canada bird numbers are, plus ducks, you know, especially the mallards. I mean, the numbers are so down. And if you talk to any guy, they'll tell you the best day to hunt waterfowl is on a Saturday. The second best day to hunt waterfowl is on a Monday.
Right.
Because the weekends, they just, I mean, God love them, people need to get out. And then, of course, on Sunday, you know, they're not...
Right.
Pressured.
Right.
And so Monday's a good day. But so most of those bills are going to die. Well, the Senate bill has already died. In fact, the sponsor, I think, saw the light and withdrew it.
That was the waterfowl bill. Yes.
That's the first of the two waterfowl bills. The other bills locked in the House, 1378, the companions locked in rules, which means it'll never see the light of day. The second bill was
not at this late date.
Pardon?
Not at this late date.
No. When bills go to Rules Committee and they sit there for 3 or 4 weeks, that's usually a sign that it's not going to get. In other words, when I say it's stuck in Rules Committee, that means when the bill is introduced, it went automatically because it was beyond an introduction.
Beyond the date, yeah.
The committee. So it's not even in the Standing Committee, the House Environment and Transportation. It's stuck in the rules, so it's not even before the Standing Committee could hold a hearing on it. Okay, so the companion bill on the migratory game birds is not going anywhere. So both those bills are dead. Then you got Senate Bill 390, which basically would have kept in what's already on the books by various counties having what they've asked for over the last years. Some have 3 days, some have 6 days. Archery, five muzzleloader, firearm. The Senate bill, both of these bills have died. Okay, both of these bills have died. So there will be no, because what the bill would have done was kept what was on the books right now and then given DNR the regulatory authority to add additional days on top of that.
Right,
and, and the appetite in Annapolis, I'm telling you, for statewide Sunday hunting right now is just not there. It's the locals who want come down and ask for and get. The waterfowl is a whole different ball game.
Well, it's federally regulated. Well, here's the other part of this bill. You know, if a lawmaker would have asked what's our population like here in Maryland? I mean, we're hearing, it's going to be the goose season's going to be cut and so forth. There were no numbers out. There were no, the survey was not, the aerial survey was not available at the time of the hearing. You follow me?
The
numbers probably were, but it wasn't issued publicly until, the numbers weren't issued publicly until after the bill was withdrawn by the sponsor. Whether they asked for those numbers and, you know, they hadn't released them, it shows that our goose population survey was half of what it was in the 2018 survey, and waterfowl numbers overall are down. So, you know, if that number was available and only available to lawmakers or asked for, that may have had some role in the defeat of the waterfowl bill. But, you know, we didn't find out publicly what the numbers were until after the sponsor had withdrawn the bill. I mean, I'm not saying one, you know, led to another, but it seemed to me that the survey was released late this year for some reason, but who knows what that reason is.
You're talking about the annual wintering survey of waterfowl.
The flyover winter survey, the annual survey was, you know, clearly almost 10 days late coming out this year based on the last 5 years.
Because there was a set of numbers released in September, okay?
Right.
The DNR about the migratory.
Right.
Okay. And that was based on the hatch up in Ungava Peninsula from the summer. Okay. Then you had the wintering survey in January. In fact, it was usually in first week in February or so, but this one didn't come out until, you know, late February, and you're right. But I did talk to the sponsors, and they knew the numbers were down. They hadn't seen the flyway numbers, but before the bills had finally died.
You mean the flyover? You mean the Maryland survey that they do by airplane? They hadn't gotten those numbers.
Yeah, it's called the annual wintering waterfowl survey.
Right.
And I mean, it just in good conscience, you know, with the numbers down. And again, go to the DNR website, see them for yourself. They're shocking. I mean, if we have a bad hatch again up in Agava, I mean, it's theoretically possible there could be a moratorium. I mean, the three-year average is like 150,000, a breeding pairs is based on like 150,000 breeding pairs, okay? And I think the three-year average is like 155 right now.
Right.
If you have a bad hatch and it falls down to 145 or 142,000, heaven forbid.
You're talking moratorium at that point.
You know, that would be an option on the table.
That's right.
And I think the hunting community would support a moratorium if it got to that point. I really do.
Yep.
Because we love to get out there, we love to pull the trigger, but we are also conservation-minded.
That's true.
Okay? And I'm telling you, I think, you know, a lot of people that we talk to now in the Maryland Hunting Coalition said that pressure on the Canada geese, which is the mainstay in Maryland, okay, and we do have our ducks. But we're known for our Canada geese. When you see those numbers, that the breeding pairs and the reproduction rate of goslings was so low and so alarming, how could you, in good conscience, go down and say, "Yeah, let's put some more pressure on these birds"?
Right,
and
I get it.
Talking about youth recruitment, there are other ways to do it.
Correct. You're right, and we've got some ideas. And you got about two minutes on Sunday hunting because we've got
The last one, Alan, was House Bill 1221, and that bill died as well. And what that bill would have done, it would have tried to basically embody a compromise that the Hunting Coalition and others met with the Horse Council a few years back that we thought was a compromise, but evidently at the end of the day they thought otherwise.
Right.
And that bill would have basically said, okay, look, we're going to keep what we've got. Which means you have to go to the law, and I could spend an hour in your program going through each county of what they've got. But it would have kept those in. It wouldn't have changed them. And the important thing that your audience needs to know about that is the good thing about locking in guarantees for Sunday hunting is that if you ever have adverse regulations, if you ever have an anti-governor,
right,
he can, through regulations, let's say, for example, all Sunday hunting in Maryland by species was determined by DNR through the regulatory process. Well, those things are set each year.
Right.
What would happen if you'd have an anti-hunting governor, you know, like a Paris Glendinning was? I mean, everybody knew Paris Glendinning was an anti-hunting governor. He could say, no, our severely restrict, And so you'd go from one year having a plenty and the next year having a famine. So that's why we always oppose, you know, giving DNR bureaucrats complete regulatory authority. So these counties have come in since 2003, and it's secured specific days and species for them, absent waterfowl. This last bill, House Bill 1221, would have kept what we've got, would have guaranteed 3 days of firearm for deer on private lands on Sunday, 2 days of muzzleloader on Sunday on private land, and maybe public land was there as well. I think public land was there as well, but I think it was mainly private. And then the last one was all Sundays for archery. Okay, anything above that, which would have been focused on firearms through the regulations, would have had to stop at 10:30. Okay,
right,
and that's what King County is the only county right now that has that kept what it did, which I think was minimum of 2 days. I'd have to check the law, but anything else they get, they have to stop by 10:30 if they're firearm money, not archery.
Funny. Right,
but all three bills, all three statewide Sunday hunting bills died. And quite frankly, this was probably not the year to have done it. But you know as well as I do who was pushing these bills.
I do, sure. National organizations who shall at this moment remain nameless, maybe later.
Yeah, it was the national groups that came into Maryland and they pushed this, and we advised them that their approach was wrong, and they knew best. And so I think they hurt the Sunday hunting effort in Maryland with what they did this session. But that's my personal opinion.
Okay. Very good. Mr. Bill Miles, lobbyist for the Maryland Hunting Coalition. You can meet Bill at our event next Saturday, March 23rd in Westminster at Martin's. Tickets are on sale on the website, mdhuntingcoalition.org. Bill, you have given us a wealth of information. You may, if you so desire, retire to your comfy bed and sleep the rest of the morning.
I'm a sportsman. I'm up.
I get it. All right, buddy. Hey, we got to roll.
All right, Alan. Thank you for what you do, brother.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
Bye now.
See ya. Bye-bye. There he goes, Bill Miles. I'll tell you, not many people with a wealth of knowledge like Mr. Miles, is there? The Maryland Sportsman Show is coming on Friday. You know, that was the original name of this show, the Maryland Sportsman. Did you know that? Yeah, the Maryland Sportsman Show is coming on Friday, March 22nd through Sunday, March 24th at the Howard County Fairgrounds, just off exit 80 on I-70. The Maryland Sportsman Show, I wonder why that sounded familiar, is a three-day event packed with over 100-plus vendors. Show opens at 2 on Friday, and hours are 10 to 4 on Saturday and Sunday. There's a waterfowl calling contest on Saturday and a cornhole contest on Sunday with seminars all weekend. This show offers a one-stop shopping experience with great values on hunting gear, fishing tackle and clothing, plus ATVs, boats, RVs, and trucks. Don't miss this opportunity to meet face-to-face with top companies, see the latest products, speak with guides, and book your next hunting adventure. Get your tickets for the Maryland Sportsman Show at the door or online, www.mdsportsmanshow.com.
Much cooler for us here today than we were yesterday, about a 25-degree difference. Mixed clouds and sunshine and quite breezy at times with a gusty west to northwest wind. Highs today only in a low part of the 50s. Clear skies here tonight, 32. Less wind Sunday, sunshine around 50. I'm meteorologist Ken Boone from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex. New location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything. Their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Well, we've reached the end of the first hour. What an informative first hour from Mr. Bill Miles there, the last half of the show. And I know many of you were listening. If any of you have questions or comments, I'd like to call in the next hour. We'll be on for another hour. Right after the news, this is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. I'm Alan Ellis. Get out, stay out, stay safe.